Hi, guys.
Hey, what's up?
This is Linda.
This is Brenda.
Our podcast is called Not Tonight.
This is just a little disclaimer before you get into the second episode, because we were still a little bit of a shit show back then.
This is when our podcast had just started. We still didn't have our names together. We still didn't have a name for the podcast. I think we were calling it Crooked Priorities.
Which is kind of clever, I guess, but too hard to say.
Too hard to know. So
too hard to love.
So we're not doing that anymore. We have our shit together now. This is fast forward. We've done several episodes now. We have gotten our shit together. We're a lot better, so don't judge us too hard on this one.
Give it a listen. I mean, it's a real sleeper hit. We read books, but it gets better, guys. Just stick with us.
All right, love you.
Bye.
Nana, Brenda, Linda, Brenda, we got something that we gotta tell you, but we just can't talk, cause we got something to do. We've got this podcast, we've gotta tell you. It's kind of stupid. It's not tonight.
Topic that we start with.
The Cherry Migration by, I don't even know who wrote it. Our weird, which turns out is probably creepy, neighbor Ron gave it to me and Priscilla. I mean,
Jim.
Aquila. Or Bruce.
Aquila was the fake name you thought of? Did you say Aquila as a fake name?
Yep.
I thought you were reading it.
I was reading it. It was illustrated by Aquila Lane.
This is Crooked Priorities
with Rita.
Yeah, but we can't be Rita and Janet anymore, because you want to know what I realize?
What?
The last episode, remember, you're supposed to be Rita.
No, I'm not. I'm
Bingo. Bingo is Rita.
But I'm Janet from Three's Company.
Yeah, well, this episode I'm going to be...
No, we have to vibe better.
We can be someone different every episode.
Like a duo, like Beavis and Butthead.
What?
Beavis and Butthead. Just, you know.
I don't want to be them.
Famous duos.
No, I mean, we can be someone different every episode if we want.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Here, let me see this.
We could be Michael Mullen and Jimmy Scott if we want.
This episode, this is Crooked Priorities. My name is Michael Mullen.
And I'm Jeremy Scott. And my dog, Whining, is Nathan Farmer.
But he's not supposed to be part of the podcast.
He's not supposed to be here. I can read it out loud if you really want.
If this podcast is going to be a story podcast. Oh my God,
I really just want to read this. But, okay, let's back up. This book was given to me as a kid. As like a four or five-year-old. I was super young. It's like when we were living in townhouses. Before Linda was born. I forgot your name again.
Alright, I'm gonna be Linda, how about that? And you just be fucking Brenda.
Brenda, yeah. Duh. Okay, it's so much easier. Alright, before Linda was open.
From now on, we're not Janet and Rita, okay? I'm Linda. Last time I was Rita. Brenda, last time I was Janet. This time she's Brenda, this time I'm Linda, okay? Leroy is not supposed to be here, but he's still in the background. So this is going to be another episode of Leroy in the background. Take his leash off so it's not scooting across the floor, please.
No, I'm going to hold him. Anyway.
So this is a children's book we're talking about.
Okay, so yeah, Linda wasn't born yet when I got this book, and it was given to me by one of our probably really sketchy neighbors, now that I think about it in hindsight. But at the time, I was four, and I thought he was cool as shit. He gave us, like, this beautifully illustrated book called The Cherry Migration. And I loved it. I loved everything about it. I loved everything it stood for. I loved all the illustrations. It was kind of, like, way too many words at first for me as a four-year-old, but... I read it, and it was like the plight of the cherries, and it was, I don't know, it totally, like, gave me some weird little cherry personification, like insight on life and death before I even knew what life or death was. It was weird. Anyway, I love this book. And Natalie.
I love this book too because all the cherries escape from the jar and they're just running around the town. They're just running away and they come across pictures, these cows.
I'm not giving the pictures any like.
I'll describe the pictures too because the first picture, I'll just tell you the story through pictures. And what I like about it is the first picture in the book is a picture of this guy like at a diner opening up a big jar of cherries. Well, some of the cherries have faces and they're all little angry faces.
And they're like,
so the second picture is an overtop view of a milkshake with one of the cherries he got picked out of the jar. And the cherry on the milkshake is making a really scared, like, oh my God, face to his friend down in the jar who's like, oh my God. And then the next picture is all the cherries in the jar. And they all have really freaked out faces.
Freaking out.
Then he puts saran wrap on top of it. Is it called saran wrap? Saran?
No.
Or saran?
With an N.
Saran wrap?
Saran.
I always call it saran wrap.
Sorry. No, it's the N.
Okay, well, there's just plastic like, wrap on top of the jar.
What's up with your G's and your N's and your M's?
I also say vangs instead of fangs.
Linda says vangs.
Like a vampire like, has vangs.
She cried one time when we were little kids. I'm sorry to bring it up, but because
I don't remember.
Our brother was making, and me, we were both making fun of you for saying vangs instead of veins. Like,
veins in your arm?
Like, vampires have
vangs.
Fangs, and you were saying vangs, and then we were like, what about what the blood in your arm? What is that called? And you said vangs. And we made fun of you for it. And you got super sad about it. And I'm sorry. But you do pronounce... You did pronounce some weird G's and N's and M's.
Do you want to know what else you did?
I know. We pretended like we were the FBI when done.
I told
Anna, you cut your foot.
I don't care.
When I was fucking around.
Mom is the only one that's mad.
And
about
I threw
it.
The Hamel. That's what I get for talking bad about you.
That's what I get for talking like Nish.
I talk like Nish and now I talk like Hamel. I threw the Hamel in the pool. I threw the hammer in the pool. And you saw me do it and it was a bad influence on you because you were like 4. What were you gonna say?
There was plastic wrap on the jar, and the cherries are trying to jump out. And then the next... This book kind of sucks, actually.
It does not suck.
Look.
Wait, go
all
back.
All the cherries start jumping off the counter.
You were going to tell me something that I did that was fucked up.
Yeah, the FBI shit.
Oh.
Yeah, my sister and my brother, my sister Brenda... They locked me outside on the deck when I was a child, and they were a lot older than me. And I was
not that much older.
I was a child. I don't remember how old I was.
You were like 7.
5. I was between 5 and 7. Okay.
And they I'm locked me to outside. My yeah, you were like 7.
Ew.
Still, I was too old to be doing that shit.
This stink bug needs to go. All right, you gotta carry the boat because I gotta... This boat. Because I gotta get rid of the stink bug.
No, just flick him.
Ew. What the hell? I don't know where you... Get out of here.
Anyway.
You gotta keep talking to him.
Okay, so we were just playing the... Stupid prank on her, and it was mean of us, but we pretended that we were the FBI. I don't even remember.
They came to the door, and they were all dressed up. I was dying to get in and crying and bawling, and they had on a bunch of black clothes and sunglasses and hats and weird stuff, and they had on, like, a suit jacket, and they came to the door all professional, like, and
said, you didn't recognize us?
Yeah, I knew. It was you guys fucking with me, but you guys wouldn't stop. Okay. And it really traumatized me, and it's one of my earliest memories.
Oh, man. That was really bad. We originally, like, we just, you were, like, out, like, flouncing around on the deck, like, just doing kid things, and we were like, let's just close the door on her. And then we did. And then
you locked it.
We thought it was funny to lock it, and then it was his idea to lock it.
But it was not all his idea. It was sort of my idea, too.
We thought it was funny.
What did you just do? She just got up and walked away and pranced to the door and walked back and sat down while she was talking.
Because I wanted to not admit to it, probably. Anyway.
Oh, I thought you just couldn't sit still anymore.
I can't sit still. I'm dying to get up right now. Like, I'm not dying, but I am.
We're going to have to make short episodes, like, maybe. We're going to have to do, like, portable
something. But anyway, yes, we did go put FBI clothes on. We thought it would be funny to make you think that we were the government coming to, I don't know. Get you. I don't know what we were doing. I don't know why. It was mean of us. It was mean. It's we okay. didn't think you believed us, so we thought we would amp it up. No, I didn't believe
you. That's why it was bothersome, because you guys wouldn't stop. And it turns out
you did believe us, and it fucked you up. No, I didn't believe you.
I didn't believe you.
But then you didn't even trust your own siblings, which sucks, and I'm sorry. I feel stupid for that.
There's another time where Brenda threw my brother off a table.
Shut up.
I don't care if you did.
I didn't. He scratched me. I was picking him up and he scratched me. And I let him drop. But he That's was what I mean. On me. He was on me.
No, I get it.
I mean, I dropped him. That's.
But you dropped him.
I fucking, no, I'm, well,
you know, you're a little bit of both.
He scratched me and I was like.
He broke his arm?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he definitely broke his arm. He was messing around on the table and we were both, like, we were just both messing around and being stupid and being way too rowdy. Like, that was the name of our game back then. Rowdy, I wish you were around. Boys. We were rowdy boys. Yes. And I grew up in a neighborhood full of boys. Like, just, like, climbing trees and riding bikes and fucking messing around all the time. And just tearing things up.
It reminds me of a song. It reminds me of that vibration was not good for podcasting. All of this rustling. I have a lot of snacks out. That are making a lot of noise. What was I about to say?
It reminds me of a song.
It reminds me of that song from Napoleon Dynamite in the beginning, that White Stripes song.
Making Friends?
That Making Friends song, and he's talking about getting dirty with all the ants and worms, and then the uniform gets dirty, and he comes back with his friend because they were playing outside, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Just, like, making friends.
It was, like, true rowdy boy, like, little neighborhood. I mean, I was, like, one of the only girls, but, yeah, we just climbed trees and, like, did stuff. Rode bikes, and John Navin terrorized us and my fish, and I don't know, it was weird. But anyway, why were we talking about that?
It's on Spotify.
Excuse me.
Our first episode.
We don't like dish. We don't like dish.
Realistically, this has been going pretty good.
Right.
This is like.
Wait, I want to take over your.
Oh, do you want to know my favorite storybook?
Yeah.
That one with that dog that was.
Good boy Carl?
Nope. The dog that was at his house, and his mom or someone was showing him where he lives, like, in this neighborhood, and then
oh my town, gosh, yeah, then, mine too. Ron also gave me that.
What was that book
the
called?
The Matt, Fudge, the, Where in the World is, Where in Walter? The World is Walter. That was actually, this book was actually our sister's. The Cherry Migration was not even my book. It was my older sister's.
By Don
Ross. I actually got Where in the World is Walter by Ron.
Guess what year it's from?
1989.
That's a really good book.
It's got amazing. Great pictures. It's like what got me into like the world, the geography of the world.
Yeah.
Literally.
I really recommend Where in the
like
World is
way
Walter.
Before school was ever gonna teach me that.
It's got 4.5 out of 5 on Goodreads. You know that's
Dude,
a good book.
It's a good book. Any what look up cherry migration. So anyway, the cherries are escaping off the counter because they get like they understand the plight of what happens when the soda jerk puts them on top of the milkshake, they get eaten. So they understand that and they're like, let's get the fork out of here. So they start like trying to spill the cherry jar over, and then they get out of like the mail, like the mail slot in the door. They escape through there. And they go like down the alley. Down this alley, like there's like a strew of them going down the alley, like little buddies. Like just little like guys in solidarity, man. Like 2 by 2. Then they go all the way out into like the pasture, like into the nature, and they see like the big moon in the background. And I don't even want to talk about what they're talking about. I'm gonna cry. And then.
Did you say I don't even want to talk about what they're talking about?
Yes.
I don't even want to talk about what they're talking about on their trip.
There's like a whole lot of words in this, by the way, that we're not.
What are they trying to do? Just escape? Or are they trying to find their friend?
Oh,
well,
let's just
they're
read.
Just trying to escape.
I'll read this one page. It's like the middle
they
of the
They would
book.
Be so dirty by now, and they're not at all. They would be so dirty if they were going through that pasture, and like nobody would want to. But that crow is trying to eat them. There's a crow trying to eat them now.
And they're like ducking away. It says, by dawn, they were well out of the city and traveling through farmland. Well, I already described that to you guys. They had to beware of different dangers now. A crow, out for an early morning flight, spied them and chased them into an abandoned rabbit hole. They huddled against the damp walls, while his beady eyes stared hungrily from the hole's entrance. He stood there for a long time wondering how to get this tasty breakfast, but a farmer's dog happened along and chased him away. He flew into the distance with a loud caw-caw. The dog sniffed at the hole, licked his lips, and then, his master calling him, ran home to his own morning meal. The cherries took a deep breath and continued on. I'm starting to think this is a weird little sex predator book.
What?
I don't know. Why are they describing it that closely like that?
Let me read it. Let me read this one. Sometimes I can't read, so we'll see. But still, they had to be careful. Grazing cows and sheep could easily gobble up 2 or 3 dozen of them in one bite. There were deep ditches and wells to watch out for, and small streams which had to be forded with caution. Finally, as the sun peeked over the city behind them, Plover? What kind of name is Plover?
One of the cherry's names.
Plover watched the last edge of the moon disappear below the top of the hill ahead. My name for this episode should have been Plover.
Plover, Ploves.
Dude, these names are the worst. I'm tired, said Byron. I'm exhausted, gasped Eloise. I can't go on, cried Harold. I'm hungry, said Sydney. Plover smiled. Don't worry, everyone. We're almost there. It's just over the next hill. We can do it.
We can do it.
With this, all the cherries gave a renewed effort, and in an hour, they were nearly at the top. Here we go, thought Plover. In a minute, we'll reach that beautiful glowing ball. Then we'll have a new home, a safe home. With the last, what do you think he's running, a sex ring?
No, not at all. You described it. It sounded totally normal.
Okay. With their last bit of energy, the column of cherries rolled to the crest of the hill. Over 200 pair of eyes hopefully looked ahead. So they're crossing a river with some rocks. I just really like the expressions of all the cherries.
That's the cover picture.
Then we get to the cover picture, which is a beautiful picture of 2 cows, brown and white cows. And they're looking at these long line of cherries that are rolling down the farm.
And they all have little faces.
They all have really intricate little faces and expressions.
Like very Whoa, that's like the biggest dialogue, though. What the hell are they talking about?
It?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know, because last time I thought it was a sex podcast.
This is story time for real. In the description, we're going to have to put stories.
All right. Story time.
Story time about children's books. And what else did we go on a tangent on?
I don't remember now.
Who cares?
Who's talking? Glover? This is where we're going? I don't know who said that.
It's just one of them, Byron.
Well, one of them said
Byron said it.
What's so great about this? Somebody said it's just a field. Somebody else said a dirty, dusty, filthy field. Somebody else said, Sydney. Well, what about it? Well, what about it? Hundreds of angry, sad, hopeless, exhausted, and dirty faces turned inquiringly towards Plover. Mm. But he couldn't say anything. He had been so sure. He had watched a glowing ball go down behind this hill. And now, with so many miserable faces looking to him for support, Plover felt helpless and heartbroken. He just stood there looking out over the dusty, empty, lonely field. For the first time since the cherry jar had been opened, he didn't know what to do. The other cherries stood behind Plover. Some were waiting anxiously for a sign of hope, but most grumbled and complained. They were nervous as they watched Plover stare at the lonely field. They were tired. They were hungry. They knew it wasn't really Plover's fault that they were lost and far from home. But who else could they blame? He had led them there, hadn't he? Most of the cherries had already forgotten that it was Plover who had saved them in the restaurant. Finally, Byron rolled up next to Plover. He bumped him softly and affectionately. Hmm. Do you know what he said?
What?
He said, maybe what we're looking for is like... No, he said is dot 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 dot. Is over the next hill. He said encouragingly. So like, wait. Maybe what we're looking for is over the next hill. Plover got for a moment. He could be right. Maybe I just wanted to get there so badly that I thought I saw the ball go down here. Plover looked down at his small friend. Byron smiled, and with that smile, the sparkle came back into Plover's eyes.
What's happening?
I can't do B and Y.
I don't know what's happening in the story. I got lost.
Okay, where do you need me to go back?
Let me read it.
They're just getting encouragement. Encouragement passed on.
They knew it wasn't really Plover's fault that they were lost and far from home, but who else could they blame? He had led them there, hadn't he? Most of the cherries had already forgotten that it was Plover who had saved them in the restaurant. Finally, Byron rolled up next to Plover. Byron rolled up next to Plover because he's a cherry. Byron rolled up next to Plover. He bumped himself affectionately. Maybe what we're looking for is over the next hill, he said encouragingly. Plover thought for a moment. He could be right. Maybe I just wanted to get there so badly that I thought I saw the ball go down there. Plover looked down at his small friend. Byron smiled, and with that smile, the sparkle came back into Plover's eyes. He turned towards the column of cherries, and everyone sensed his renewed confidence. All right, everyone, he shouted determinedly. We'll rest here until night, and then proceed on. Cheer up! Don't be sad. At least we are far away from that terrible place.
Booyah!
I'm getting you guys out of here. The cherries smiled. They felt that all hope was not lost, and that they were glad to be able to rest their tired little body. They scattered out over the hillside, and within a few minutes, quite a few of them began dozing off. By dusk, nearly every cherry was fast asleep. However, distant memories of other happier times disturbed most of them. They rolled in their sleep, unaware of the source of these hazily colored dreams. Dreams of yellow sunlight filtering through dark green. Dreams of floating between the blue sky and the brown earth. dreams of their lives before the cherry jar. But what was that life like? The only cherry that wasn't asleep was Plover. He was too restless, but he couldn't tell why. When the sun had set and the land was covered in darkness, he rolled to the edge of the hill above the field. He gazed around the sky, looking for the wonderful glowing ball. There was no sign of it. Only stars sparkled in his cheeks. It seemed that they had been traveling for ages. He couldn't believe it was only yesterday that the cherry jar had first been opened. So much had happened. They had traveled so very far, and for what? There was nothing to show for it except this empty, dusty field. He had let everyone down. Sadly, he turned back toward his sleeping friends. How surprised he was to see the beautiful white ball floating in the east. Through his tears, it danced and glowed and lit up the sky above the great city. He didn't understand how it came to be there, but nevertheless, it filled him with joy and hope to see it again. I must wake everyone up, he thought. We have to get moving. But before he could speak, a haze passed over the moon, and he heard the leaves in the trees begin to murmur restlessly. What's happening? Asked Byron, yawning. I don't know, whispered Plover.
Oh, come on, Byron.
I don't know, whispered Plover. They waited. They felt the air was chilly and electric. Flash, crash, boom!
Uh-oh.
I'm getting sick of this book.
Whatever.
No, this is my favorite because it was raining and they're all falling down.
They look like like they're turning into tomato sauce. This is really, really nice page. Yeah, damn. All right, flash, crash, boom. Lightning and thunder broke the silence. And the rain came pouring down. Let the rain fall down.
Touch my wings.
This is way deeper than that song.
And I want you.
This is way deeper. This illustration is way deeper. What if you had that like over your mantle?
Tattooed on your butt.
On your butt. Alright, anyway. Excuse me. So lightning and thunder broke out. The wind howled and the cherries woke to a wild storm. My goodness, what's happening? Help. I'm not getting voices. Help.
Help.
They cried out and rolled around in the dark, bumping into each other and becoming more and more frightened. Order, everyone, order.
Guys, like, order, okay? Order, everyone.
That's how Plover talks to me.
Order.
Please, let's stay together. City, Byron, over here, line up. Please order everyone.
Sounds like our niece.
But the wind howled and thunder crashed and the cherries could not hear him. The storm grew worse and worse and soon the wind reached an incredible speed. The cherries couldn't stand against it and they were being pushed off the hill. Some were picked up and flung through the air.
Whoa.
Oh dear, cried Plover. What have I done? My poor friends. But soon he too could stand against the wind no longer, and he was blown into the field below. Stunned and helpless, the cherries lay in the field praying that the storm would end. They had not even energy or will enough to move from where they had landed into the wet soil. But it made no difference. For suddenly, there was a loud noise, like the squishing of a giant sponge, and a huge portion of the hill came sliding down in a muddy mass, burying them beneath it forever. I don't remember this part. The angry wind eventually blew the storm clouds away, and the moon shone brightly into the chilly night. The stars sparkled over the wet countryside. The moon was reflected in silver puddles as it lit up the land. Remember how they were like so obsessed with the moon? Other than the new layer of mud atop the field, not much had changed. There was no sign of the cherries. No one had escaped the landslide. Indeed, if it were not for this story, no one would have ever known that they were there, even there.
Is this the last page?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to read it?
You better make it good.
Do you want to have Z?
Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna end it. All right, so we're on the last page. It's an old man looking into a full moon at a little bushy, piney, grassy knoll. It is a long time since the cherry migration occurred, and I am a very, very old man. I told this story often, and many people have said that I should write it down so that others could hear the brave cherries. So that is what I'm doing. How do I know the story? Well, you see, I was paying attention after I opened the cherry jar that night long ago. And I did hear those cherries talking to each other. When the restaurant closed, I followed them all night long. And I saw them disappear under the mud in the storm.
Where am I at?
I was in the middle.
I was very unhappy after that. I quit my job as soda jerk. But I couldn't forget the cherries. For many years afterwards, I returned to the hill and thought how very sad was their story. But now, as I write these words, I sit on that same hill with my back towards the great city in the eastern distance. Above me floats a silver ball of the moon in the clear night sky. And as I look ahead over the most beautiful cherry orchard that I've ever seen, I'm not so sure that it's really a very sad story after all. The end. So that is the, Cherry Migration by, you know, it's really weird that they don't have the author.
Plover and Byron. Story by Bruce
Ballin, illustrated by Dan Lane. They're both equally important. It was a really good book. And
that was the freaking, I feel like the.
What was the moral of it?
Oh, well, the moral is kind of beautiful in the long run, but the illustrations, I feel like nobody gets until you see it. Like, it's just
was
like a stupid children's
book. Was there a cherry orchard because they all escaped and died there?
Yeah. So, like, they got caught in the storm and they got buried, but they became cherry trees. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's really And beautiful. They were just trying to get away from the soda jerk, man.
So he quit his job.
And that soda jerk watched them do it.
And he let him?
Yeah. He watched them escape. And he watched them go. And now he sits and writes at the orchard. And he probably feels bad.
He probably does. He probably does. There's nothing else to say. Nothing else worse can happen.
I can't give me nothing else worse.
Else worse can happen, Mom.
Oh, hold on.
Nothing else worse can happen.
Nope. I've been really trying to do a little Edie voice. I've been watching little clips of Grey Gardens.
I know, man.
Oh my god. Her voice gets me every time. But I can't.
All I need is order. All I need is a Libra man.
She talks so
order.
Loud.
That's all I need.
Order.
Order.
I'm a staunch.
What else does she say?
Mother? Mother? I can't do her voice. I'm like the worst at impressions and impersonations. Mm.
All I know is that she said, all I need is an order.
My best character of the day. This is my best. No, I can't do it.
You gotta do it.
I gotta think about it.
Well, you know,
maybe if I get on this.
Do you want to know something? This is the latest I've stayed up in ages. Not really. The other night, I stayed up till like 12 playing Animal Crossing, but it's almost 12. It's 11:53 at night.
It's actually
Boston at least hasn't stayed up in a while.
This is crazy. This is what quarantine does to you.
And it's a Monday.
It doesn't matter anymore. There's no such thing as school.
School's out for summer. School's out forever.
Too bad it's fucking cold.
Oh, gosh.
Where we live, it's fucking cold outside right now. But it shouldn't be, because the other day it was like 70-something, 80. You know, it changes. You know, climate change changes things around. You know how it is. You know how it goes. Sometimes you just need to smoke a cigarette while you talk to yourself. Sometimes there's another podcast that we like to listen to, but it's kind of been getting on our nerves lately, actually. But we listen to it. I listened to it today. Still gets on my nerves, but I listened to it. It's called Armchair Expert, and I was going to say that they're always talking about how their bathroom in the attic doesn't have a door on it, but I guess they edit out people peeing in the background, but this one does have a door, but she just had it open. So you can probably hear her peeing in the background, but you know, we don't have an editor yet. We don't have a Steven to do this kind of thing. So you're just gonna have to enjoy the sound of the toilet flushing in the background. Or maybe you can't hear it because this is a really good app to record podcasts on from the Pod Loft, for the Pod Loft. Can you take
There's
over?
There's like a very C aspect to that bathroom.
There's like a C hook anchor. And on the back of the wall. Sorry to cut you off. But
cut me off because I'm done talking.
I feel like I need to tell you that.
I feel like I would like to take a bath in that bathtub.
Under the sea?
Yeah.
Or like Mermaid from the movie Mermaids. My favorite movie in the whole wide.
I think this is the end of the second episode.
Yeah, we gotta go. I agree.
Try not to fuck up the volume.
We did a very good, I feel like we gave that book rendition enough
credit. I think that we did a good job reading it to our people.
I mean, people. We tried. I feel like we tried our best. So it's 36 minutes. What the hell?
Yeah, this is good what to hell? Sleep to.
All right, guys. I love
good night.
You.
Good night. I hope you have a good night's sleep. I hope everybody sleeps really good and has really good dreams.
Like good vibes.
And
good,
I hope
positive,
that you can
loving,
maybe lucid
protecting.
Dream if you want to
yeah.
do that.
Yeah, if you're there, go for it. But if not, don't. Worry about
hopefully
not.
You're asleep by now and you just had a weird cherry migration dream and that's Leroy with his ending for us.
No, hey Leroy.
Hey Leroy, want a cookie? Hey Leroy, hip.
Y'all are hip.
You can say goodnight if you want to. Alright, well.
Goodnight.
Oh, here he comes. Hip. Here we go.
Oh my gosh, he really is coming.
Alright Leroy, say goodbye.
Oh my gosh, Leroy, for real? Come here. Good boy. He's being a really funny boy. Hey.
Say bye.
You got anything to say?
You got anything to say to us? Alright.
No?
No?
That's what he's saying.
He's saying no.
He said,
alright, get out.
I love you. I love you, Leroy. Good night.
I love you guys. Bye.